We want to pause for a moment this morning and to listen to God's Word, allow it to give us insight and inspiration this morning. We've been in a series on the Gospel of John entitled The Seven Signs of John. We're through those seven signs, and of course, Holy Week went through the crucifixion and the resurrection, and now we're in the final chapter of the Gospel of John. And last week we did in John 20, Jesus appearing to Thomas and talked about the doubts that we struggle with. And here's some more, I think, good material for us included by John that I think is very, very insightful and is sometimes overlooked. And so I want us to take a look at the disciples in a boat this morning in John chapter 21, verses 1 and following. And we're looking at Jesus guides and provides. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize yet that it was Jesus. He called to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning with coals, and with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. This morning I want us to look at this story and to think about Jesus guides and provides. And first I want to get started with a story that I think is somewhat insightful. I heard that it was a true story, took place off the coast of Carolina in a dark and raging storm in a time before GPS and Loran and some of those navigation systems. And so two lights were converging in this night in the storm. And as they were converging, the ship received a signal by semaphore, which said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." The captain of the ship bristled from that. And so he said his signalman send back the signal, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." And with that, he received another signal, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." The captain was pretty upset and he said, "All right, send this message out. Alter your course 10 degrees north. This is the captain." And so he received back another message that said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. This is Seaman First Class Jones." Well, the captain was really upset now and he sent out another signal. And the signal was this, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. This is a battleship." And he received back the signal, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. This is a lighthouse." How true, isn't it? You know, sometimes we really truly believe that we are the captain of our ship and we know what's best even in the raging storms of life. But the truth is, sometimes there's better direction that comes from the shore. And so it is this morning. Now, the disciples are out in a ship, in a boat. We think it's about 29 to 30 feet long and 8 to 10 feet wide. The disciples have seen Jesus. They've even seen Thomas struggle with his doubts as Jesus appeared before Thomas and believed the Lord. But we believe that Peter, who has, as you know, denied the Lord not once but three times, even after Jesus had warned him, perhaps was wrestling with his failure. Anyone out there ever wrestled with your failure? Even maybe when you knew it was coming, no one wants to lift up their hand, but I'll lift my hand up. And so maybe Peter was struggling with that. He went back to what he knew best, which was fishing. And so the other disciples went with him. And they go out into a boat and they're fishing all night long and they catch nothing. Now, it's interesting because John tells us something about the disciples that are in this boat, doesn't he? He tells us that it's the sons of thunder, we know, right, which is James and John. We know, of course, that Peter was there. We know that Nathaniel was there and Thomas was there. And two other disciples which go unnamed. Now, John would have known who those two disciples were, but he does not name them. But it's interesting, when you think about it for a moment, what is the ship a picture of? Well, the ship, oftentimes, is a picture of the church. Ever since the times of Noah, when all the people sort of survived that flood on a ship, the ship has been a sign of the church. Now, I will tell you, there's three places in the sanctuary where there's ships in the stained glass windows. There's once on this side, once in the back, and once over here. But I will direct your attention to over on this side. If you look to where that ship is over there, you notice that it's the one that refers to this church, which is Emmanuel. And they chose a ship for the symbol of this church, even though we're out in Indiana in the cornfields. They still chose the idea of a ship. Why is that? Well, because the ship is a picture of the church. And here we see it perfectly, if we just pause for a moment. And it's interesting because John wants us to know that in the ship is this whole array of disciples who are quite different. He wants us to know that Nathanael is there. Remember Nathanael? Nathanael, who was the one who was one of the first followers of Jesus, and he was invited by Philip to come, and Jesus says, here's a person in which there's no guile. Nathanael believes. In other words, Nathanael is the one who believes easily, right? Easily for Nathanael. Now, what about Thomas? We just talked about Thomas last week. We call him Doubting Thomas. He's the one who struggled with faith, right? So we've got Nathanael who believes easily and Thomas who struggled with doubt. And so in our church, we have people who believe easily, even early, and other people who struggle late and long with their doubts but come to belief. We also have who? Peter, who is this one who is incredibly impetuous, ends up jumping right out of the boat here and swimming to shore, the one who spoke but the one who also faltered. And we have John, who's the reflective one, who's one who's more introspective. And you see it in John's gospel everywhere because he has these deep details. He's so thoughtful. And so we've got Peter, who's impetuous and loud. And we have John, who's maybe more introspective and soft-spoken and the reflective one. And so we have two other disciples who go unnamed. Why? Because I think John wants us to know, put your name there somewhere. And put the name of someone who's completely opposite of you, all right? Because the church needs everybody. The church needs the young and old and the rich and the poor and different races from different places, different languages, all across the world. And that's the best picture of the church that we have. And John wants to remind us that's the way that it should be. And when we think about the fish out in the sea, we think of what? We think of the lost, and we ought to be about fishing. But first, I want you just to pause and to realize that everybody has a place at the Church of Jesus Christ. There's room for everyone on the ship, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in your place, in your journey of faith, no matter where you are, if you're struggling with faith or faith comes easily, you are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and Jesus welcomes you. So it's also true that Jesus guides. And it's interesting because they don't recognize at first Jesus. He may be in the sunlight or whatever. He's a ways from shore. But Jesus calls out to them, friends, have you any fish? Now, this is an interesting moment, first of all, because the translators, you can't tell this in your Bible. In most cases, it doesn't help to know Greek, but this is one place where it does. And even scholars struggle with this a little bit because the word isn't friends. The word is not friends at all. In fact, it's the word pedia, what we get pediatrician from, another children, but it's not really children, you see. This is slang. Jesus is using some slang when he calls out friends. And in fact, if you're in the UK, which we're not, it would be translated, lads, have you any fish? So people say, really, you know, this is kind of slang. In fact, if you're on the West Coast, what Jesus is literally saying is, hey, dudes. Jesus is kind of cool. He's kind of hip here. So, hey, dudes, if you're on the East Coast, it would be yo, bros, all right? So I don't know if you're yo, bros, or hey, dudes, but Jesus is kind of a hip. Risen Lord is a bit of a with it kind of a guy. So he's saying, hey, dudes, have you caught any fish? And they say no. And Jesus says, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat. Now, everybody says these guys were fishermen. They knew. They've been fishing all night, which is the time to catch fish during this time of the year. didn't catch anything. And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side of the boat. They take a step of faith, and they do what they knew was probably not the right thing to do, but since nothing else was working, they did that. They cast their nets on the right side of the boat, and all of a sudden, the net is full of fish. And then John yells out, it's the Lord, and Peter does what Peter does best. He jumps out of the boat and goes to shore, and meanwhile, he leaves the rest of the disciples there struggling with this boatload of fish. They get it to shore, and there's Jesus. But I want to pause for a moment here because, you know, Jesus guides us, and the picture here, people have often said, because if you look at everywhere else in the Gospels, Jesus is in the boat or coming to the boat, right? So Jesus is either in the boat with them or Jesus is on the way to the boat, but not here, because here Jesus calls to them from the shore. And people have said, as every detail seems to be in the Gospel of John, that this is, John wants us to see this for a moment, is it is a picture that we are in the church in a boat and Jesus is guiding us from heaven's shore. And Jesus is calling to us and directing to us, sometimes with directions that are hard for us to understand and a plan and purpose that is hard for us, we often struggle with, and sometimes even tells us to do something that we are completely unfamiliar with and something new. And so it is in this morning that Jesus calls to them from the shore, just as Jesus calls to us from heaven's gates and heaven's shore. And so Jesus tells them and guides them to throw their net on the other side to do something different. Have you ever had the Lord ask you to do something different? Anyone besides me out there that maybe you've had a moment where you've struggled? And in this amazing moment, they have this huge catch of fish. So Jesus guides us. And then lastly, Jesus provides for us. In this amazing moment, there was, we're told, as they gathered the net full of fish on the shore, that they counted them, there was 153 fish. It was full, but the net didn't break, which is very interesting, an interesting detail, because what we find is that the net is full, which is sort of the church when it's following Christ, is fruitful and reaches out to all those. And it's interesting, too, because the net didn't break. And sometimes we feel like our financial resources are going to break, or our wrestling with an illness is going to break, or the grief that is heartbreaking, that is breaking our heart over the loss of a loved one, we're just going to break. But with Jesus, He will see us through and provide for us in a way that will not break us apart. And so it is in this moment. Now, a lot of people said, you know, this number 153, Josephus, the Jewish historian, records that it was not uncommon. In fact, it was common practice for fishermen to count all their fish because they're usually partners. And so business partners count so they can divide it up equally. Other people have said, you know, this is a very significant number because everything else in the Gospel of John is very significant. So you'll find no end to scholarly ink that's been sort of poured over this. You can look on the internet or look in your favorite scholar resource. Some people say, well, at this time, there was maybe 153 species of fish in the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, so there was one of each of them, so everybody was in the net, right? Other people will say, well, no, you know, what is really true about this is if you add 1 through 17 consecutively, you get the number 153. All of you math people knew that out there, right? And so if you get 17, then it must mean that you've got the Ten Commandments and the 7 days of creation or the 7 signs of John or the 7 I Am sayings in the Gospel of John. But if you have all those things, everything will be okay. And other people say, well, no, wait a second. When the disciples gathered up the leftovers of loaves and fishes, there was 12 baskets and 5 baskets of loaves and fishes. So that's the number 17. Oy, I don't know. But you can decide over brunch today what that number means. Maybe there was just 153 fish. I mean, I don't know. But I hope that you'll have a good discussion with the family what that number might mean. But I think what John at least wants us to know, whatever the deeper meanings here are, is that there is just enough. And Jesus does provide for us when we're struggling, sometimes in the water and the difficulties of life, that Jesus will get us through and our net won't break. That Jesus, if we listen to Him and we follow His directions, then we will feel His presence and power, whatever we face in life. Reminded of the story of this young girl who was on a train in Europe with her grandfather. She'd never been on a train before, and the train was winding along the ocean coast and also through the mountains, and she was quite scared. And it went through some tunnels, and her grandfather told her that everything would be okay. And finally, the little girl looked over at Grandpa, and she said, you know, Grandpa, I know everything will be okay. It's like someone went ahead and provided a path for this train. And that was good insight for a little girl. And I think it's the same way with our life in Christ. And sometimes we go along the cliffs, and sometimes we go through a dark tunnel, but we know that God has gone before us and is calling us from the shore, from heaven's gates, where he can see and guide us. There's a great story that I love this week. I don't know if you followed in the news, but everybody know what Senior Ditch Day is? You know, well, okay, let me tell you something, because you'll need to know this later when you're a senior in high school. Senior Ditch Day is when all the seniors ditch and they don't go to school and they do something crazy like they go to Kings Island or they go out swimming somewhere or whatever, and you're not supposed to do it, but they all do it, right? So I know, because my daughter just told me Senior Ditch Day was at Harrison. She's not a senior yet, but she's practicing for it. So it was Senior Ditch Day. And she said, "Dad, no seniors were at school today." And I said, "Yeah, well, that's Senior Ditch Day." So I said, "You know, get that 4-0, and then, you know, you can ditch with the rest of the seniors. But you got a couple years." So it's Senior Ditch Day, and these two high school students by the name of Tyler Smith and Heather Brown decided what they'd do since they were in Florida was they're going to go swim at the beach, at Volano Beach in Florida. This was just last week. And what they didn't realize was exactly how strong the tide and the wind and the current were, so they were swept out to sea, and they were more than 2 miles from land, and they'd been out there for 2 hours. The winds and waves were very, very serious, and they thought they were going to drown. They were holding on to each other. Now, you know, 2 hours in that current, it's pretty desperate, and they're ready to go down. They're holding on to each other, and finally, out of desperation, they began to pray. And not an eloquent long prayer, but they began to scream out, "All right, God, just like do something, bring something." And somehow their cry was heard over the wind and over the waves. There is a boat 200 yards away, and the captain records that he said, "I can't believe we heard their scream, because the winds and waves were so bad that we had to keep the diesel engines up high. It was making all this racket, but we heard this cry over the sounds of the engine and the waves." And so they looked out and they saw those two teenagers. They were able to rescue them. And do you know what the name of the boat was? The Amen. You can look at it on the internet. The Amen picked them up. And so the one teenager said, they got on board, "Oh, this was a miracle from God." And the captain said, he said, "It's just too much to be a coincidence. There's too much." He said, "I just can't believe it." He said, "I shouldn't even have been out here in this kind of weather and current, but I decided to go out, and I can't believe we heard the scream." He just said it had to be God. And so it was the boat Amen. I don't know what you're struggling against today, and sometimes things happen in life. Doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen in life. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus is guiding us from the shore. And I'd just like to close with this thought, that if we're going to receive Christ's guidance and Christ's provision, then you and I have to open up and let go a little bit, don't we? We need to open up to sometimes some new possibilities, and just as the disciples open up to a new possibility. And C.S. Lewis once said, you know, when we pray, it isn't always so much God that is changed, but we who are changed, and we begin to fit into God's plan. And I think that's really true in life. And so when we open up, we sort of open up to something new that God has planned for us, not necessarily what we have planned. And then we need to let go. And Henry Nouwen, the great priest and writer and photographer, was touring Europe one time, and he heard about the famous trapeze act, the Flying Radleys. And so he had an opportunity to talk to one of the Radley brothers, and so he sat down at lunch. This was talking to Rodney, I think it was, the one who flew through the air, and he said, "What makes a great trapeze artist? What do you do to fly through the air?" And he turned back to Henry Nouwen and said, "Well," he said, "you know, there's nothing that I can do. It's not up to me. I'm the flyer." He said, "What it's up to is the catcher." And he says, "You know, if the flyer tries to twist and turn in the air, all he'll do is cause the catcher to miss him or his wrist to be broken and he'll be dropped. He has to fly through the air with his arms in the right place, trusting that the catcher will catch him." Well, Henry Nouwen goes on to say, you know, that's a lesson in faith. Sometimes you and I have to let go and to open up and to trust that God has a plan and purpose for us. And if we put our arms out knowing that God will catch us and God will get us where we need to be. This is a beautiful picture of the ship of the church today. A ship that's open to everyone. A ship that invites everyone in. And if we follow God's directions, we'll find that Jesus guides and Jesus provides. And so I challenge each of us to listen to Christ. Hey dudes, have you any fish? If not, throw your net on the other side of the boat and everything will be okay. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you do guide us from heaven's shores. Sometimes we think that we know all the best things in life, but truth be told, you're the one who can see what we're going through right now. You're the one who can see what's around the next corner, and you will guide us and you will provide for us. So help us to trust you. And all God's people said, amen.